This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift.
G'day, I'm Eric.
Hi, and I'm Judy.
And welcome to episode 14 of Blast from the Past podcast. And in this particular episode, episode 14, we are going to take you to the movies.
Or as I used to call it, to the pictures.
The old picture show. The flicks, yeah.
The flicks, yep.
So before we go and talk about movies, at the movies they normally have the previews. So why don't you tell us briefly what this show's about, in case we have any new listeners.
Okay. So what we do with this show is we talk about the past. In my life, from earlier days up until the current time. So we compare with each other about what happened back in my day.
Well, Drew's going to hit you for that.
Well, let him try. And what happened was I used to listen to the podcast that Eric used to do with the boys, and I got a bit intrigued, and then you started recording for me on my MP3 player different shows that you thought I'd be interested in, and I are under a specialist for my health, and my doctor turned around and said to me that I need to get to part of my recovery was to make plans for the future. And so he sort of said, get a hobby. So I decided, well, there's not much I can do with my health. I can do a little bit of gardening and things like that, but there's nothing really that I can get into. So after listening to your shows and that, I invited myself around to watch you and Drew record one of your shows. And I was the studio audience, so listening while you were recording and that. And then after the show then, the three of us were talking, and I sort of said, well, you know, maybe I should give it a go. And you used to say to me all the time, because you'd ask me, oh, what do you think of that show, Mum, what do you think of that? And I used to give my two bobs worth. And then we turned around, and this particular night, me, you and Drew were having a conversation, and I said to Drew, what do you think if I had a go at podcasting? You know, I need to find a hobby. And he said, well, I can't see why not. There's other people out there that around your age that are doing podcasting. Give it a go.
And we'll be saying hi to one of those people a bit later.
That's right. And I sort of thought about it, and I thought, oh, I don't want to make a fool of myself and whatever. And you kept saying, come on, Mum, you know, get on there and say what you think about different things and that. And I'm not backward and coming forward, you know, so I thought, oh, well, here we go. So we talked about it for quite a few hours, and then I said, well, what'll I call it? And Drew said, well, you're always going back in my day. And I always say to Eric something about, you know, the history, and Eric said, oh, here we go, another history lesson. So Drewy gave the idea of back in my day. So we came home and we talked again about it and everything. Anyway, so Eric said, well, Mum, if we don't start the ball rolling now, you never will. He knows I've got to have a push, you know. So we got on the internet and he was looking through all the names of the shows, and he had to look up for Back in My Day. But the problem was it was completely, what do they call it, booked out?
It was taken.
Taken. Oh, well, easy word. I said the wrong. Anyway, so we said, oh, well, what are we going to do? You know, Back in My Day's already been taken. So I said to him, well, I had a mate when I was a teenager who was a friend of my brother's, and I hadn't seen him around for years. Anyway, there was an ad in the local paper, and he teaches line dancing. And he had this page advertisement about how he does local line dancing and that. So, and a phone number to ring up to inquire about it. So I thought, here we go. So I rung him up. And I was saying, oh, I used to know you when I was 16, and, you know, you knew my brother. And I kept egging him on with different hints and things, and he couldn't work out who it was. So in the end, I told him, and he said, "Oh, g'day, you know, how you go, blah blah blah." So we decided to meet up, and so I turned up at his, and I said to him, "Well, what I'll do is I'll come out to one of your shows, you know, classes," because he invited me out, and I said to him, "Well, what I'll do is I'll come up and say g'day, and say you know it's me and not a new student, I'll say." Blast from your past, and that's where the name started. So thanks to Bill, I called it Blast from the Past. So you looked it up on the internet and it was taken, and I said, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" You know, I really wanted that because I thought that would really fit the show. So that's why you called it podcast. So we ended up, we could register that. So we registered Blast from the Past podcast, and then you put Irk in the front of it because you've already known by a lot of people and that to give me a bit of a boost. So this is my way of sharing, because I had a lot of memory problems with my health from medications and stuff. So this is my way of helping me to recover my memory. I think it's done pretty good, but the only problem with it is I get so hyped up about it. I've got a book, because I really, years ago, I used to say to a friend of mine, all my life experiences that I've had, I should write a book. All these people are doing autobiographies. I should do one. So what I'm doing, instead of writing a book, which is a lot easier, we do it on the podcast. So
that's it. So that is the preview.
Yay.
and the lights are dark in the cinema.
Yep.
Now, on episode number 5, we spoke about radio, and mm-hmm. in episode number 6, we spoke about TV.
Right.
But having said that, before TV was even thought of,
was the pictures.
And before you were even thought of,
was the pictures or the flicks.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about your earliest memories of
the pictures?
The pictures.
Okay, well, when originally my uncle, my mum's brother, he used to work at the pictures on the door, and he was one of the guys that used to check your tickets, and they used to rip them in half, and then they'd, because you're in the picture show, you walk down the aisle, and you could just imagine it, that up the front's a big stage with the curtains, and it opens back when the show starts, and there's a big white screen, and that's when the bloke's upstairs in the projection room, and he runs a reel-to-reel thing for the show. So down the front of the stage, that was called front stalls, and that was the cheap seats. And the floor was just wooden floor. And then when you went up halfway, they had like a little fence. You could call it a fence, but you had three rows. You had one row up against the wall, come out so many seats, and they were all numbered on the back. And then you had a space where you could walk down the aisle. And then you had your middle section. And then on the other side of that, you had another aisle. And then you had your section to the wall on the left. So when you got to the middle part, it was only a quarter of the way up, where they had this fence thing, wooden fence thing, then it started to be lino on the floor. Now, all the seats were all joined together. And then the seat, like the back of the seats, were joined together, and then they had like a hard iron, a wooden handle thing that you could lean on arm, and then the seat part where you sat on, that used to fold back, so that when you wanted to get out, the seat would fold back. It'd automatically, as soon as you stood up, it would go back. So that way then, if you needed to stand up for someone to get out, it was easier to give you room and you'd move back to where the seat was so people could get past you to get in or out. Anyway, so you had front stalls, then you had back stalls, which was a different price. And then you had, when you come into the picture theatre, you had two lots of stalls where there was a woman behind the counter thing, and you'd go and you'd buy a ticket to go in, and you'd say, "Oh, one front stalls, one back stalls." And then over on the other side, there was a set of stairs, and they were all carpeted, pretty flashy. And the woman there, that would be for upstairs. So when you went upstairs, there was a little milk bar where you went in. It was all carpeted, really posh, seats all around, and you could sit around at the seat, look out down onto the street, seeing people going past, whatever. And they had the ladies and gents toilets as well up there. And then when you went in there, well, you had the projection room at the back, and then you had the upper level, and upstairs was the, you know, exclusive. So you had, it was all carpeted, nicely carpeted, and the seats were all nicely velour padded, and so they were dearer to get up to. So only people went up there that had a bit of money, you know, because it was expensive to go. So what we used to do, we used to have enough money to go, we'd go downstairs and up the front. So for us to go to the shop at interval, you have to go out of the picture theatre, and there was a milk bar next door, or there was one across the road, or there was two across the road. So you had the option to which one you went to. So you'd come out and you'd see which one wasn't as busy, and you'd go and pick that one and line up to get your ice cream and stuff. So you got the picture? Yes, we do.
Boom, boom. So how much would it have been when you were a kid to go and see a movie?
Right, well, what we used to do is we used to get two bob, 20 cents. Can you imagine that? 20 cents. And that 20 cents, it was threepence to get in. We say threepence because that was what the money was then. It was pound, shillings and pence. So you'd pay threepence for front stalls. Then it was sixpence for back stalls. Upstairs was a shilling. And so the difference in the price. So what we used to do, we'd pay our threepence to get in. Mum would give us two bob, 20 cents. And that paid your threepence to get into the pictures. And then when was half time, well, the other money, there was enough there, you could buy a small bottle of Coke. And the bottles them days were glass, and the lids, you had to have a thing to pull the lids off. They were like a beer bottle top, you know, and they'd have a thing at the shop to take the lids off. So when you took a bottle of drink takeaway, they always took the lid off. And you'd get a bottle of Coke, you'd get a single ice cream cone, and you'd get a packet of chips, and that was your one and sixpence or 1 and 9pence, whatever it was. So that was your money for half time. So that'd keep you going. So what we used to turn around and do, we'd go into the pictures, give your ticket to the guy, and he'd take you down, and he'd pick out where he'd sit you, where he, you know, and he put, if, because the light, house lights, they call them house lights, they'd be on. But when the show was about to start, they used to play this, you know, real loud music, and they'd, you know, sort of flicker the lights. So that means everyone knew to sit down, shut up, and get comfortable because the show was going to start. So if you've seen some of your friends, you'd duck over and sit with them if there was room. You know, if not, you'd have to stay. Sometimes if you came in late, because the front stalls would fill up pretty quick, sometimes you'd have to split up. So, but then at half time, what a lot of people used to sneak upstairs at half time, so there'd be extra seats there. I mean, I did it too. But you'd go up into the dearer seats upstairs, and in the dark, and you'd get a seat up there, you'd sneak in, you know? So we'd turn around and we'd, you know, get downstairs. Well, they'd start the show off, and it'd always be, the music would be real loud, and they used to play God Save the Queen, and you'd have to stand up for that. Then you'd sit down again.
The National Anthem at a movie?
Yeah, they used to play God Save the Queen, and the Queen used to come on the screen. They'd show the Queen on the screen. And then we'd turn around and they'd do the news. You used to get news flashes then of what was, you know, general of what was going on, like someone got attacked by a shark or something, you know.
So this was before...
Before the movie.
TV became wide...
Yeah.
Mainstream.
Yeah. I mean, like my mum told me, like when the war was on, they used to have the news and they'd show you to do with the things to do with the bombings and things like that. So that was their way of, except for the radio, that was a way of communication, was the pictures. So, and then once that was all over, they didn't have ads and things like the TV, but what they used to do is sometime they... would then give you highlights of what was coming up, shows of the future.
A preview.
Yeah, a preview. So, and then the same thing at interval. When interval was over, they used to have the same thing. They would have what's going to be on next week, and they give you little shots of what was going to be on the next week or the date that they were going to, because they release the shows every week. So they'd let you know what was coming up. And like different, overnight there were shows that we call them AO. So you had to be a certain age to go to it. But every Saturday afternoon, they used to have the Sadiavo birthday party. So what they used to do there, you'd pay your threepence to get in. And across the road from the picture show was a family-owned cake shop. And they used to cook cakes and bread on the premises. So what they used to do for advertising, they used to make this great big slab cake. And it'd be about 3 foot. So you'd put it on a big table. That's how it was. So, and there was this old lady. She was a local on the council. Not married. And she used to be the one involved with the pitch. She was an auntie or something of the owner of the pitchy show. So what you had to do, you had to give the lady at the ticket stall your birthday. So, like as an example, like mine's February. So you go up and you give them your name and how old you're going to be and the date of your birthday. So what they used to turn around and do, and this was to get more kids there on a Sadiavo. So what you do is you put your name in, and then on the day they turn around, and for that month you were able, if you were lucky enough, you'd get your name called out. And if your name was called out, well then you'd be the one to cut the cake. And then you'd cut the cake and they'd sing you happy birthday and you got a little present. And then they used to cut the cake all up, and this was done at interval at half time. And then everyone got a paper plate and a little piece of cake. And if there was cake over because there wasn't enough people there, well, you could go back and get a second piece. You know, sometimes you could get thirds if you were lucky. But there'd only be enough cake, like a mouthful sort of thing, like a couple of bites, you know.
So what sort of things did you used to watch at the movies?
Creepy shows, surfing shows, all different types, you know. I always had to take my little brother, Keith, and I used to give Mum a break. So I used to take Keithy to the pictures, you know. Keithy and I, you know, went together in a lot of places because my older brother wasn't interested because he was 12 years older than Keith. But it was always, take Keithy, you know. So I'd take him. So we'd go there. Like one time we went to the pictures and Psycho was on. You know that one on TV?
Yeah.
And I took him. And I was always frightened of anything that had crocodiles or snakes in it. And I used to get so bloomin' scared and I'd be with the feet up on the chair. This time we were watching Psycho. Anyway, Keithy turned around. He got really frightened when the guy stabbing the girl in the shower, and he jumped up on the seat, and when he did, his foot got stuck down the back. The seat flipped came up and his foot got caught down the back of the seat, and here's me trying to get it out, and he started crying and carrying on, you know, because he was, you know, only about eight or ten or something. Anyway, he turned around. In the end, the guy came along and I couldn't get his foot out, and the guy's there with a torch trying to get him to, because he was upset, he couldn't work out to twist his foot round to pull it out sideways. And the guy was there trying to calm him down, and I'm telling him to shut up and stuff because everyone's, you know, saying, shut up, we want to watch the show, because I was still rolling the picture. Anyway, in the end, they had to stop the movie. They had to put the house lights on so the guy could see to get his foot out, and everyone's going, boo, you know, because that's what they used to do them days, you know, if you did something wrong, whatever, they go, because if you were playing up in the picture show, because some of the kids used to sneak around in the dark, and they'd sneak up on you and scare you, and, you know, if there's something creepy on, the boys would sneak along, crawl along the floor if they were bored with the movie, and they'd come up to the girls and pull their hair, or we had long hair, and they'd tie our plaits to the chair. So when you got up, you couldn't get up, or they'd sneak up underneath and crawl behind, and they'd undo your shoelaces and tie them to the leg of the chair. And so, you know, this all went on. And then what they used to do is we used to buy the Jaffas in a box and Fantails and things. They came in a box, And so you'd go in and you'd get a packet of lollies and you'd make sure you got one that, like things like Jaffas and Jubes and that, they didn't have paper on them. Because if you had paper rattling the paper, like a chip bag, the guy'd come along and shine his torch on you and say, keep it down, you know, shh, you know, and if you don't, out. You know, you get three strikes and you're out, you know. So we used to get the Jaffas and eat them. And when you got bored and whatever, you'd see someone down the in front of you, so you'd throw the Jaffa and hit him in the back of the head and you'd sit there like innocent, you know. Wasn't me. And they'd be looking around to see who was throwing the Jaffas at you, you know. So you heard the story, Jaffas down the aisle,
yep.
Well, that's what they do. And because the floor was wooden, well, they hit the person in the back of the head or the shoulder or whatever, you hear it go pop onto the floor and then you'd hear this rolling thing down the aisle, and that's the story, Jaffa in the aisle, you know.
So how often would you go to the movies as a kid?
We went every Saturday afternoon. That was a treat for being good all week. And I think it was to give Mum a break. So we were, you know, we used to go to the pictures and turn around and have the Saturday. And being Saturday afternoon, we used to, for the birthday thing. And they used to have I spoke about television with when the TV came out, the Mickey Mouse Club. So when the pictures came, they brought out a Mickey Mouse Club. So when you joined the Mickey Mouse Club, you got a set of black plastic ears with the elastic around your neck, and you got a certificate to say your name and you're, you know, a member of the Mickey Mouse Club. And then they used to have, at interval, they used to bring out these, like Coca-Cola had a big thing about yo-yo competitions. So they used to get the kids having competitions to get up on the stage and do all these different tricks. And the one that did the most tricks with their yo-yos, my older brother, he won a shirt once, and it was a red shirt and it had the Coca-Cola emblem on it for because he did all these different tricks with the yo-yo. You know, he could spin two yo-yos, one in each hand and stuff, you know. I had enough trouble just getting it to stay down the bottom and come up, but Ernie was really good at doing all the different tricks, you know. So they had different competitions like that to get the kids to come to the pictures. And my girlfriend, we met in kindy and we were friends right through school. Well, she lived out of Penrith and she lived on a farm. And her and a brother, sometimes the parents were involved with something and they couldn't drive them into town. And they used to drop them off at our place because we only lived around the corner from the pitches. So they used to ride their horses in. And because we had stables down the back with the trotters, they used to leave their horses, unsaddle them and leave them in the backyard while we went to the pitches. And then when the pitches came out, it was about 5 o'clock, they had enough time to get on their horses and ride home before it was too dark. Because where they lived, there were no street lights. It was dirt road. So, you know, I mean, kids rode their bikes there and they used to put their bikes, line them all up and along the bank. You know, I mean, a bank, not a bank wall, you know. It was on the corner was a New South Wales bank. And you see all their bikes lined up, leaned up against the wall of the bank, you know, while they're at the pitches, you know. So, we used to have fun going there, you know.
What about when you grew up into your teenage years and did that change any in going to the movies as you got older?
Yeah. Well, then what I used to do was me and my girlfriends, we had a time restrictions and we had to be home by 11 o'clock.
For your curfew.
Yeah. And we weren't allowed to leave Penrith sort of thing. So one time we wanted to go to Luna Park, but there was no way we could go all the way into Sydney on the trains and go to Luna Park. We weren't allowed, you know, because you had to be chaperoned. So what we did, we got together and we got our stories. And I said to Mum, you know, we'll go into the pictures. And this was then in the night time, which was a different show. So, because the kids' shows were, you know, like cartoons and a lot of cartoon shows and things like that, you know. So what we turned around and said, oh, we're going to the pictures tonight, Mum. Okay. So what we used to do, we used to at the front of the picture show, they had these big boxes with the glass in the front with a padlock on them, and they used to put up these big posters of what the show was. So one side would have now showing, and on the other side of the picture theatre at the front, they'd say coming. So you'd know what was on and what was coming and that. So what we used to do, we'd have a look at these pictures and then we'd make a story up about it. So when the next day Mum would say, what was the pictures? How was the pictures? What was it about? So there you'd be there and you'd be blabbering on all this bullshit of the story, you know, of what it was or whatever, to get away with it. And I did that a few times, you know. We'd go to a dance instead of the pictures, and, you know, and we'd come home and tell her this big whopping story of...
Because it wasn't as if she was reading about it in the paper or see it herself, so no. She didn't know what the story was.
No, well, they didn't have it. They didn't have it in the paper them days. And they didn't have, like, Mum used to go to the pictures sometimes with my cousin, my older cousin Nan, that was on a couple of shows back. Dad used to, us kids would go to bed because we had to be in bed at 8 o'clock on the dot. That was it, bed. No matter what, school days, holidays, nothing, bed, 8 o'clock. That was his rule. We'd get away with Mum but not with Dad. So he... Because Dad would get up 4 o'clock in the morning to go and do the horses, and then he used to have to come home, have breakfast, shower, and then he used to go to work. So he used to start to fall asleep after tea, because we used to have tea at 5 o'clock. He'd have a shower and we all get in our pyjamas and that, and even when we had the TV, Dad would be there and he'd fall asleep in the chair and he'd start snoring and going on. Mum would wake him and say, go on, get to bed. I'm right, you know, and he'd wake up second wind. So if we were watching telly, and the movies used to come on at 8:30, so he made sure bed, 8 o'clock. So if we wanted to watch something on TV, we knew Dad would fall asleep. So Mum would put a finger in front of him and go, shh, you want to stay up? Don't make a noise. You wake your father up, you know what happens, bed. So sometimes Dad would play possum, and he'd let us get started into the movie, and about half an hour into the movie, he'd turn around and go, all right, you kids, you think I was your bed, you know? So off to bed we'd go, and he used to make our bedroom was opposite the lounge, and if I laid up the wrong end on my bed, I could see the telly. And he picked it, so we used to have to shut our bedroom door. And then when they went to bed, they used to open the bedroom door up, you know? So Mum used to, we'd go to bed, and Dad would go to bed, and so he'd be in the house with us kids. And Mum and Nancy would go to the pictures together. And as I said before, my uncle used to work on the door, and he used to let Mum and Nan in for nothing. So it was good when Uncle Seth was on the door, because we didn't pay.
Yep.
We'd get in for nothing. But that was only his second job. Like, my dad did it sometimes. And also what Dad used to do, he used to go out to different places around the town. They used to have these big wooden notice boards, and he used to go out there with they used to have glue, this special glue, and actually it was made out of flour and water, and they'd have it in a pot, like a paint pot, and a paintbrush, and you go around and you just paint over top of the last poster and stick it up. Hold it for a couple of seconds and then it'd stay there.
So it was like billboards?
Yeah, it was a billboard, but it was stuck up with flour and water. That was glue in them days. It was flour and water. Plain flour and water, and you mix it up into a sloppy dough, and that was a real good glue. For paper glue, it was really good. So he used to go around all these different places, and he used to put up the posters for the picture show. And, you know, he used to get some money for it, you know?
So what about as you got even older and you got a car, did you go to the drive-in?
Well, before that, what we used to do, there was one picture show on the high street around the corner from where I lived, and that was called the Nepean. And then down where you go to the railway station, there was another one there, and it was a family-owned shop, and it was called the Avon. Or they used to call it, I don't know how it got the name, but the Dungown Picture Show. and it was owned by a family called Scotts. Well, I went to school with one of the boys. So the father used to run the movies, and the mother and the sister, the oldest girl, used to sell in the ticket box. And then the oldest boy, he used to be up with his dad in the movie projection room. And then Dennis, the one I, same age as me, went to school, he used to be on the door to check your tickets. And then when it got, they had two doors. The picture shows like the ticket box in the middle and two doors, one each side. So they used to have a person each side. If it wasn't real busy, they'd only have the one door open. Then once everyone was in the movies, there'd only be one door that you could... The bloke used to watch two of them, but you could only go in one way because it was the way they had the locks on it. So that one, we used to go down there. If there were different shows on, we used to go to either the Dungown or we'd go to the Nepean. So when I got older... I found the people that worked at the Nepean, you couldn't play up like chucking the Jaffers down the aisles at each other or whatever, because they knew us, and because my uncle worked there and that, they would dob on you, you know? Like my cousin Nancy and her friends used to go there, and my uncle worked there. He used to cart back to my grandmother what her and her girlfriends were doing, and then my grandmother, you know, grapevine, she'd tell her mother, and, you know, and it was on for young and old. So if we didn't want the family to know... or what we're up to, whatever. I mean, we weren't up to bad things, but we'd go down there to the different shows. Plus, what they used to do down the Dungown, every so often, the country musicians like Slim Dusty and that, Joy McKean and that, they used to go down there and they'd put on a country and western night, and the bloke used to get out the front cracking the whips, and they used to put the country shows on. And my dad was a real country and western freak, that's how come I like country. And so he'd go down there to watch, you know, the show. So we'd go there with him, but we used to go down the front so we could be up closer, and Dad used to sit further up the back. Him and Mum used to sit up the back. So every, you know, say about once a month, once every couple of months, when the country shows went round the area and they come to town, well, we used to go and see them, you know. And that was a big, big buzz, you know. And they used to have, sometimes they'd have, for the kids, they'd have magicians and, yeah, different type of shows, like live shows.
So the cinema or the pictures just wasn't a place where you just go and watch a movie, whereas now you basically go there to see a picture and then that's it.
Yeah, that's right. And then virtually when the TVs got going a bit further up the track, then... The Dungown, they closed it down, and it's now a big shopping complex there now. But then because they weren't getting the crowd and they weren't making enough money, so they thought there was too much competition with the two picture shows. So they were offered, because next to them on the main street was a big, it used to be a NRMA place, but they moved. So it was just a vacant block, dirt block. So what the people used to use it for a parking their cars and stuff. So someone bought that, so they offered to buy the picture show as well. And now that's a big shopping thing there now. So that, you know, they sold out and gave it away. So then we only had the one picture theatre, and that was the one at the top near where we lived. And then the milk bar, when I was older, when I was 15, the guy that owned the milk bar, he lived just up the road from us. He was Greek, and his wife, and they had a boy and they had twin girls. So she did all the cooking in the... Because they used to sell hamburgers and fish and chips. You could buy toaster sandwiches and hot chocolate, and so you could sit at a table and have a meal, or you could have steak and salad and chips, or you'd be right there. They did steak and chips, but they used to have that sort of thing, you know. Or you could turn around and get a milkshake. You could drink it there, have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, a little pot of tea. And so he turned around and he said to me, "Oh, look, Helen was getting pretty run down because she was shuffling between the house and the shop, and she was getting, you know, not well. So that was actually when she was pregnant with the twins. And so talking to him and that, he said to me, would you like to give me a hand? So what I used to do, I used to go, like, of a night time, and I used to help serve in the... I used to sell the bottles of drink and make the ice creams, and people come in and you get two bobs worth of mixed lollies, and you get a great big bag of lollies in them days. So I did that sort of thing in the shop. And then... They didn't sell, like, when it was interval, you didn't sell, like, hot food. That was stopped. It was only just, like, takeaway stuff, you know. And, I mean, you can imagine all the kids there all, you know, screaming and yelling, I want an ice cream, I want a packet of chips, I want a bag of lollies, I want the, you know, they're all screaming at the one time, all hanging over with their hand out, and you're trying to, you know, serve each one. It was unreal, you know. But that was a job I used to do at interval, so I'd go there at a certain time. So you made sure all the fridges were stocked up with bottles of Coke and whatever. And then when they went back into the pitchers, then you'd restock the drinks and that, because when the pitchers were over, you'd get the rush again. All the kids would bring their empty bottles back because you got a penny for an empty bottle. So you'd turn around and he was a real miser, and he wouldn't give you your money back for the bottle. You'd have to buy something in the shop to the value. Plus, us kids used to go up, and people would leave their empty bottles behind. So you'd collect them, take them back to the shop, and you'd get the value in lollies, you know, which you'd think was a real treat in them days. So so we used to do that. So when I worked in the milk bar overnight then, I used to do the same thing. When the interval was over and when the pitchers were finished, well, then they'd come in, and they'd bring the empty bottles in and they'd get another ice cream or a bottle of drink. Or so you'd have to work out how much it is, take the bottles off them. And we used to have a box and you put them in the box, you know, and sort them out later. So we used to do that. And it used to be, oh, you'd be sweat to come to you. You were that busy, you know. So, and another time I was going out with this guy called Morris. Well, I was 18 then. And I used to help Bill out with the pitchers. And I used to do Saturday afternoon matinee, Saturday night matinee, and sometimes on a Friday night. Then that gave Helen a break because she had the twins in. So this particular Saturday night, I did the matinee, and then I had to go back a couple of hours later to do the after thing. Anyway, my friends turned around, we're all going to a dance. So I said, oh, they were going out to Ludnam to a dance out there, you know. And I got fed up with it because all my friends were going out and here's me stuck working this blooming matinee thingo in the shop. So this turned around this day, they were all going out to a dance, and I said, oh, geez, I've got to work. I've got to go back for the interval. And anyway, Morris said, oh, you'll be right. You know, I'll get you back in time. I'll wait for you and then you go back to the dance. Love and behold, in the meantime, oh yeah, I go to the dance, having a good time and everything else. And when I seen what time, you know, to get back to the shop, he wouldn't take me.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I was stuck out at the thing, and I was having kittens fed income because I knew it, you know, beyond for young and old. So what happened? I didn't turn up. He stuck in the shop to try and serve all these kids. And he ended up going to the house to me mother and knocking on the door, getting mum out of bed. So, that made it twice as bad. And, so when I got home, I got the mum's waiting for me to come because you had to come in the front door to get in. And, where were you? You're supposed to be working at the Bill was around here knocking on the door, you know. So I told her what happened, you know. Well, you're irresponsible, you know. You're supposed to help him out, you know, leaving the man on his own. Oh, boy, you get a mouthful. You know, mum never, she took a lot for her to hit you, but she'd give you a mouthful.
Mm.
And sometimes it's like spitting razor blades, you know. It was worse than getting hit, I think. So I did that a couple of times. One time I ended up in Lithgow, supposed to be at the pitchers, and I took off up to Lithgow to a dance.
Why Lithgow?
Well, there was a dance on at Lithgow, and all my friends were going. So, and it was in the winter time, and I ended up in Lithgow, and same guy, I had a blue with him, And what did he do? He took off and left me. And my handbag was in the car. I had no money. And I ended up, I thought, what am I going to do? No train. I couldn't get a train home because the train, then they used to stop early. So I couldn't get a train home. So I ended up, I didn't know what to do. And so I went to the police station.
Speaking of police stations, you might be able to hear a helicopter overhead.
Yeah.
Flying over the studio on its way to the hospital.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what that big noise was.
That's emergency flight. So I end up going to the local police station and telling them, you know, that my friend took off and left me and he's took my handbag. I've got no money and I can't get a train back to Sydney because the trains had stopped and there was no train till the next day. And I was crying and going on. So they let me stay in the police station where it was warm. And the guy made me a hot chocolate and that, you know. So I slept in the police station that night. So I suppose you could say I was under house arrest. And then the next day they ended up, they put me on the train and sent me home. So, oh boy, did I have some, you know, telling Mum that. Oh, yeah, yeah, righto, tell me another one, you know.
Oh, you would have copped it after that.
Oh, I did. So I virtually, in the end, I decided it wasn't worth the money working in the milk bar. So I ended up, I gave him notice and I said, look, you better get someone else, you know. It was bugging my social life too much.
How much would you have got paid?
I was getting, working full time for him, I was getting, it was about $6-7 a week. So it was only about $1.50 an hour. Wasn't much. No. And I used to, when I finished work, I used to get, I could make anything I wanted to drink and have something to eat. So I used to make myself a double strawberry milkshake, and I used to make myself, I was always crazy over ham, cheese and tomato toasted. So I'd make a ham, cheese and tomato toasted on the grill machine. I used to make it myself and have that. That was my treat from working my backside off for the night, you know. So I used to have that every day. So that's what you get for working all day, you know. So that was my experiences with the pictures, or movies as you call it.
Did you ever get to the drive-in?
Yes. When they opened the drive-in up, I would have been about 16, 18. I know we used to go there and we'd all pile in the cars together to go to the, because we had a big drive-in picture show here, and it was one where the street that went up the side of the drive-in used to go up to the where they used to grow the grapes, and so it was pretty hilly, and we used to call it Scabs Hill. We'd go up there and we used to sit up on the hill, and the boys would have a few drinks, whatever, and we'd sit up there on the, get out and sit on the bonnet of the cars and that, and we used to watch the pictures or the movies, you know, on the big screen. And it was good because you could hear the what was being said, because the projectionist used to leave the door open because it'd get hot in there with all the cameras going. So they used to leave the doors open and let the air in because they couldn't have fans and that on because it'd make a noise. And so we could hear, because they'd have it up loud, we could hear the movie. So we used to get up there for nothing. And we used to watch the movies. And some of the kids, what they end up doing, they used to, near, there was a bush, like, shrub thing growing near the fence, because it was a big 8-foot-high fence, whatever, you know. So what they did, they dug a hole under the fence. And it was where the shrubs were, so no one could see it. And they used to scoop under the fence. And in the dark, they'd go down the hill, and then the other person, one person would drive in the car, or two people would drive into the movie, pay to get in the movies, because it was $3 to get in then. And they'd go into the movie, get their ticket, go and park over that side of the, near the hill, and then you'd run down, and when it was all clear, and you'd run down and get in the car, so you'd get in for nothing. And some of them used to go and sit, because in the front of the drive-in, in them days, they used to have tables and chairs. Because it, sometimes it'd be hot in the cars, you could go and sit at the table and chairs and watch the, you could hear the movie, and that's how come we could hear it up on Scabs Hill, because you could actually hear it by sitting in the table and chairs at the front of the, where you got all your refreshments. So some people would sit there, and then every so often the bloke would come round in his white overalls and he'd say, "Tickets, please!" And they'd check, and if you didn't have a ticket, they'd boot you out, or they'd call the cops, you know, because they got wires in the end about them sneaking under the fence and, you know. So they keep an eye on, they used to keep an eye on the, or sometimes you're making so much racket, the coppers used to drive up the hill and tell us to bolt off. I lost my wallet once because we were sitting up on top of the roof and they took off me. I didn't realise that my wallet was still on the roof. And it had me, all my money and everything in it, you know. So I got caught on that one time for cheating. Up on Scabs Hill, all right, I lost my wallet with all my money in it.
So I know that you and I have gone a couple of times with some other people.
Yeah.
And they often charge by the car.
Do they?
Don't they?
No. They used to charge so much ahead at the drive-in. So what we used to do, we used to, like I said before, one or two would go in, usually, you know, like a guy and a chick make out their boyfriend and girlfriend, because them days you didn't have seatbelts, and the chicks used to sit on the bloke's lap virtually. And so what we did, you put a couple of people in the boot. So that way then you get in for nothing. And then when you got round and you could see they got the all clear, well, they let you out of the boot. I've done that a couple of times. Another time we're in the back of, one of our mates had a ute, and him and his girlfriend were in the front. And we got in the back part of the ute, and you wouldn't believe it, the bloody canopy come off the back of the ute, and here we are, me and my girlfriend laying in the back of the ute with the spare tyre. The bloke come to sell the ticket, and he says, "What are you pair doing there? Out." You know, so we got caught a couple of times trying to sneak in. Then they got smart, and they caught on about it. They started checking the boots of the young kids. They used to get them to open their boot, so that they check the boot, because they call on that people were sneaking in the boot of the cars, you know. And what we used to do, my girlfriend and I, I had the FB, she had the EK, similar car, you know, model car. And what we used to do, we used to go to the drive-in every Sunday night. We'd go to the drive-in. That was the place then to meet, was at the drive-in. So we'd all meet at a certain section of the drive-in, and we'd all line up next to each other, you know, all in the cars, and we'd all get in each other's cars and, you know, watch the movies. And you'd take a pillow. Like Rhonda and I, she's the one I talked about in one of the earlier episodes. She used to make the donuts. Hiya, donut boy. And she used to turn around and I'd go and meet her, and we'd go in convoy to, we'd all meet at her place. In the afternoons, we'd wash all our cars together and everything. And then Sunday night after tea, we'd go to the drive-in. So, because some of them lived like next door to each other. So, and we'd make a big thermos flask of hot chocolate or Milo. And we'd go to take it to the pictures with us, and we'd take a sandwich or something and, you know, have a snack or something like that at the pictures. Or because she worked in the donut shop, we'd take some donuts or cakes or whatever. And then half time, then you'd go and go and get an ice cream or a cold drink or something, you know, at the thingo, at the kiosk. So, and what we used to do when it was hot, instead of sitting in the car, we used to sit up on the bonnet or sometimes we'd sit on the roof. And the guys that had panel vans or utes, they used to park them backwards, and typical, mattress in the back. So
and you can imagine what was going on there, folks.
Yes, but what we do, you'd lay in there to watch the movies, you know. But as I said, some of the cars, you'd see them all fogged up and you know what they're up to.
Weren't necessarily watching the movie, put it that way.
No, definitely not. But I thought, a couple of times I thought it was funny because my older brother Ernie, I talked, that used to do the drags. He had a girlfriend, and Lorraine, and she was the same age as me, and she got a tumour on the brain and she died before they got married. And then he was single for 5 years before he would go out with another girl. Well, I used to go with my girlfriends, as I said, and I'd see Ernie's car parked down further, and you could see the heads. And I'd say to my girlfriend, "There's Ernie's car," because pick it out because it stood out, you know. He's got a bird with him because, you know, you'd say she was sitting so close to him and he's got a girl in the car with him, you know. I wonder, you know, she's sitting at the door and I thought, oh, you know, next minute she'll be, we'll try and see who it is and we try and sneak down and see. You wouldn't believe it. It was me little brother. And why he moved over next to him was because he was scared. And so he moved over to Ernie because he got frightened. And I thought he had a girl in the car, you know, and I was going down there to spring him. Instead of that, lo and behold, was me little brother with him, you know.
You sprung him all right.
I sprung him all right, you know, and he'd go, bastard, and he'd go, ha ha, suffer, bitch. Hi, Keefe, what are you doing here, you know. So he often used to take Keefe to the drive-in, you know. So that was our episodes with the drive-in.
Now, we don't have many drive-ins in Sydney anymore. We've only got the one at Blacktown.
Yeah, and then there used to be another one out at Chullora, and yeah, it was Bass a twin. Hill. Twin drive-in.
That was the second last one.
Yeah, but you could go to one and then you could drive around and go to the other one if you wanted, you know. But the one at Blacktown, you and I went to that. What car did you have then?
Might have been the Commodore because I think I went with Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. The three of us went one time to the pitches.
Yeah.
And didn't we go for a double show?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah. But I remember one year, my cousin Nan that I spoke about, we used to go to the drive-in. And what we used to do, when it was a long weekend, they used to have double feature creature features, it was called. Or on Friday the 13th, they always had creepy shows on. So we used to, she had two kids and they used to leave them with a mum. So we used to go to the drive-in and we'd go to see these. They used to have like midnight. It'd start at midnight until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and they were all creepy shows. So her and I used to go to the creepy shows, you know. So we used to go up the club first and go to have a dance and have a few drinks. We used to drink that black duck, or cold duck we called it, and we used to call it black duck because if you had a chuck, it was black. Anyway, we'd go to the club, dance and stuff and have a few drinks and then we'd go to the drive-in for the midnight creature features and we'd take a pillow and all that sort of thing and it was a competition to see who could stay awake the longest and that was to, you know, just to, and then the winner got breakfast in bed the next day, you know. So we did silly things like that just to make it more interesting, you know, to go with the drive-in. But I had many a good nights at the drive-in. And it was good seeing the shows, you know. And, I mean, we got into trouble a few times and we got asked to leave. One time a friend of ours come in, because you had the in-gate and the out-gate, and they thought they'd be smart, which I thought was stupid. They'd reverse in the out. And they think that they could get away with it. And the bloke had come up, wait for him to set up and everything, and then he'd come and say, tickets, please. Right, there's a gate. Get out or I'll call the cops. 5 minutes to leave town or I'm ringing the cops. You know, and they do stupid things like that. And we used to laugh. And another one was the person in front of you, they put their foot on the bloody brake. So you're there trying to watch the movie, and all you get is this red light going on and off, on and off. And, you know, and in the end you sing out, put your foot off the brake, you know.
What about horns?
Oh, yeah, many a time you hear the horns go off, you know why. You know, and you see the windows all steamed up. That was another, thing that used to go on at the drive-in. So, but we weren't into that thing. I mean, if you think about it, if you're going to pay money to go and see a movie, you're going to see a movie, not to go there canoodling, you know?
There's a word I haven't heard for a while.
Canoodling, yeah. In the wintertime, we'd go and we used to take a pillow and we used to take a rug. So, because it gets so cold and the frost in there and the frost would come in sometimes and you couldn't even see the movie, the screen, because it was so foggy, because it was all open. Around the movie was all grape orchards and that and a creek, so you'd get the fog.
Because the drive-in was something that you'd go to at night. It You couldn't see the screen in
there.
Well, maybe someone hasn't been to a drive-in that might be listening. You never know.
Yeah, well, right. Of a Sunday in the daytime, the drive-in was used as a market. So all people go there and buy stalls, and they used to sell all second-hand stuff and new stuff, crafts and, you know, garden things and plants and pots and toys and... Actually, the wooden train. Eric's got two wooden trains on top of his wardrobe. My partner Vince bought him. We actually got them at the markets, at the drive-in. There's a bloke there, and he used to make the wooden kids' wooden toys, and we got you and paint them and that, and we got you those two old trains made out of the timber, and you still got them up on top of your cupboard.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so they were bought at the local. Well, the drive-in's not existent there now. It's all houses.
I was going to say, because not even the markets exist there.
No, but they, you know, they ended up, the drive-in got closed down. That was when people were, they bought out the videos. So the drive-in all around died a sad death because people go and hire videos. And it was cheaper to go and hire, that's what we used to do.
And you didn't have to put up with the peanuts all around you.
Yeah. Well, that's what we used to do. Friday nights... Our family, when we're all together, we used to go to my brother's place or come here to my place, and we used to have Friday night was our family night, and what we used to do, we'd go and hire five movies and you'd like buy one new one and the other ones were cheaper ones, and then we used to go, and every Friday night was we had in turns who picked what for tea. One night it'd be pizza night. Then the next time it'd be fish and chips or we'd get Chinese. So my sister always picked fish and chips. Yeah, she was a scuzz bucket, and so she used to get you'd get big thing of chips and you'd get fish and you'd get scallops and it was a big mixture of seafood. And then Keith used to always order pizzas, different flavoured pizzas, and then I used to get the Chinese. So we had... choices of what each one would like. So and sometimes we got Kentucky Fried Chicken because you didn't like the other stuff, so we'd get you Kentucky Chicken or get you a barbecue chicken or stuff like that sort of thing. It was always finger food, easy.
Yeah.
So, but that was our Friday night thing, which you used to always like, and then halfway through the movies we'd stop and we'd go and, you know, we used to have some ice cream or... In the wintertime, we'd have a cup of Milo or some toast or something like that, you know. But, and Jess, my brother's daughter, she was allowed to stay up. So she'd have a bath and everything else and we'd eat tea and then we'd settle in. So what we used to do is start off with the movies. So because we knew she wouldn't last the night out, she'd fall asleep. So we'd start off, because everyone got a pick of a movie. So we'd start off with her movies first, like the funny ones or whatever, and she'd have her movies to... she used to like the creepy ones too. And her and I used to snuggle up on the lounge under a blanket, so when the creepy ones come, we'd put the pillow up over or the blanket over our heads, you know? And so we used to all snuggle up and snuggle in and whatever, and we'd watch all our... And it was good because if you wanted to go to the toilet or get a drink or whatever, if you got thirsty or whatever, you could do that, you know. So you could stop the movie and go and do...
Or if you didn't like the movie, you just kept going.
Yeah, well...
If you yourself didn't like the movie, you wouldn't worry about saying, hey, stop the movie.
Yeah, yeah. So so we used to do that sort of thing, you know.
So it's come a long way of watching a movie from when you were... Going the to
pictures,
the cinemas.
Yeah. Well, like now, they've got the DVDs now. You know, instead of, I mean, now, well, I mean, you don't, you know, the video places, you can buy the videos and DVDs now in the, you know, like Woolies and in the garage or anywhere now.
Well, that's the thing. Even thinking about the different cinemas that I know about in the local town, they used to have the two separate Hayden cinemas. That were owned by Mike Walsh.
Yeah.
And at the top of Penrith, there was one and two.
Yeah.
And down the bottom was three and four.
Yeah.
And then for a while, we didn't really have anything.
Yeah.
There was one at Panthers at one stage, but that's been gone.
You had to be a member.
You had to be a member of that one.
But you could take kids to that.
And now in Westfield, there's something like 8 separate cinemas in that complex.
Yeah.
In Hoyts.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it was last year when I went for my movie marathon day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got some free tickets and I forgot about them. And then I realised, some of them are going to expire. And so I saw about 4 movies on the same day as a movie marathon.
You were really movied out that day, weren't you?
I sure was, but I did see some good movies that day, so that was cool.
But it has come a long way since then. There's still, Blacktown still goes.
The Blacktown Drive-In, that's right. That's the only one in Sydney.
Yeah. So, but even so, I mean, these days, now I've got we've got the Foxtel on, so you can just, you can get your movies, you pay your rental thing for it, but you can get all your movies I have enough channels on the Foxtel to watch all my documentaries or whatever I want to watch. So, who wants to go to the movies? You can go to bed, be comfortable.
That's it.
They only have a short thing in between them or whatever. You can duck off to the loo or go and make a cup of tea. And what do? You don't have to get dressed up for anybody.
Exactly. So it's been a pretty interesting look at the movies and how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move to our song.
Oh, right. They're already, are we?
We're there already. we're coming up to the end of the movie and it's almost time for the curtains to come across.
The old reels. That's what used to happen at the movies. Sometimes, because they were reel-to-reel projection, and sometimes it used to break. So, all you get on the screen, it would be a big, the light and white all come up white.
Did they ever put it on backwards?
No. I mean, they always pre-wound them ready to start before the show. But a couple of times, they break because of them playing and winding back, and there's a lot of tension on the tape. So sometimes they break. So what they have to do is stop it, fix it, and they stick it together with sticky tape. So that way then, they could still play it. And so take 5 or 10 minutes. So they'd have to put all the house lights on because all the kids would go crazy, fighting and booing and carrying on, chucking jaffers and things. And
it'd sound like a pretty good job to be a projectionist at the start, but after a while I suppose it'd be a bit boring and you wouldn't be watching the movie.
Yeah, well, my dad's friend, Jim, he used to show... He was the projectionist, they called him. And we used to ask him what he used to do and that. Well, he used to take a book. And while it was on, because you get the light off the projector, so what he used to do, he'd take a book and he'd read a book or read a magazine, or sometimes he'd have a bit of a snooze because, they go for so long. And when it got to the end, it was interval. And the thing would just go around... The tape, when it got to the end, they go round and round and round and they make this clicking noise because the tape's spinning at the bottom and it's hitting the bottom of the projection thing. So if he was asleep, it'd wake him up. But, he used to tell us different tales. He'd come around, he used to play cards with my dad, and he'd come around and he used to tell us kids some of the stories. Or sometimes he'd say, he'd say to Mum, there's a good movie you'll like, So... Nan had lined it up with Mum had lined it up with Nan to go. They used to like the mushy ones, so they'd go to that, So and then his son, then he was doing it until the picture show closed. The son took over, so it was a very family orientated picture theatre back in those days. So yeah, so that was that. So. What are we doing now? Oh.
We have to say hi to Trucker Tom.
Yeah. So tonight we'd like to send out hellos to Trucker Tom. And I suppose by now you've probably started listening to our shows.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And I want to thank you personally for your hello for my birthday. And I really, really appreciate it. I was quite surprised to have got a hello from you. And... I've got about 20 to catch up on with. No, it's less than 20 now. So I'm getting there.
But it's just amazing. He's a trucker, as the name might suggest.
Yeah.
And he's all over America, and he still manages to put out 2 or 3 podcasts a week.
Yeah.
Regardless of where he is.
That's right.
Which is an outstanding effort. He's well over show 1,000 now.
Mm.
Because he's been podcasting since 2004.
Yeah, he's on to about 8 or 9, I think. 1,009 or something at the moment. So he's doing really good. And his shows are very, very interesting. You know, and except for when he goes on about the politics. I'm not into politics.
But he's obviously had a lot of time in the truck to think about it and, you know, listen to other shows and that sort of stuff. So if you do hear this, Trucker Tom, it'd be interesting to get a comment from you or an email from you. And let us know where you are in America when you hear this, and you know, that'd be rather cool, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So tonight the song that we're going to have tonight, which is appropriate to this show, and it's called The Actress, and it's sung by Michael E. Thomas's band. So take it away, Mr. Muso. Start, isn't it?
Dark side. looking for a walk on the park, just to keep you from seeing who you really are.
How cool was that?
That was a really good song there, wasn't it?
It went
on a bit long. It seemed to go long, but I enjoyed it. It was nice.
That was cool. Have you got a poem for us?
No, not tonight.
No poems. Maybe next time. What's our next show?
Our next show is going to be our special for Mother's Day, so I'm looking forward to doing that one.
That should be cool. Of course, you can email us, irkpod@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the show notes. Subscribe or listen to previous episodes, blastfromthepastpodcast.com. Don't forget to check out my other shows as well, IrkPod, aka Romeo Kilo, and more songs like that on Irk FM. Go to channelirk.com for all that. What do we say?
Good night, Interweb.
Good night, Interweb.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Interweb.
Bye.
Bye now.
Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift.
Oi, you! Out!
Who? Me?
You!
Why?
Because you're rolling Jaffers down the aisle. Now get out.
No. I want him.
Well, you shouldn't have thrown him down the aisle, should you?
Watch out, I'll throw one at you.
Ooh, scary. I've got a torch.
So, I've got a box of Jaffers.
Or eat your box of Jaffers and shut up.
I can't. I'll have a hypo. You go and get your ice cream and shut up.
I'll take me Pepsi, so near.
Good night, Interweb.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.